Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when you heard that our gospel lesson for today was also going to be our sermon text for today, did you scratch your head a little bit and wonder why? Why is the familiar account of Palm Sunday the focus of our attention on the first Sunday in Advent? Well, that would be a very legitimate question to ask. The answer is actually very simple. The entire Christian church year either moves toward Good Friday and Easter Sunday, or it flows from the cross on Calvary's Hill and the empty grave in the garden. The first Sunday in Advent not only marks the beginning of a brand new Christian church year, but it also serves to point God's people once again to the cross on Calvary's Hill. While generally speaking, the entire season of Advent focuses on the Son of God coming into this world, the portion of Scripture that we have before us today specifically answers the question of why. Why did God's Son come into our world? As we begin this new church year, we're also going to begin a new sermon series. The overall theme of this sermon series is the King shall come. Today, as we begin this series, we're going to study this text under the theme, the King shall come. He is coming to save us. Mark sets the scene for us when he says in the opening words of our text, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. This was Jesus' final journey to the city of Jerusalem. The villages of Bethany and Bethphage were on the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, on the side that was away from the city of Jerusalem. The site of these two villages was a visible reminder to Jesus and his disciples that they were drawing near to the end of their journey. They were drawing near to their goal. Those two villages also served as a visible reminder to Jesus that he was drawing near to his goal, his reason for coming into this world. The fact that Jesus knew that he was about to reach his goal is brought out very clearly when he says to two of his disciples, go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, why are you doing this? Tell him, the Lord needs it, and we'll send it back here shortly. This is the first time in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus refers to himself as the Lord. This undoubtedly had a far more powerful impact on his first disciples than it does on us, his disciples today. These disciples knew that the Lord is the great I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They also believed and trusted that Jesus is the Lord, the great I Am. And so they obeyed him without question, without doubt, and without any objections. The instructions that Jesus gave to his disciples reveals that Jesus was always in complete control of each and every event of his life. Since he knew that he was about to reach his goal, the cross on Calvary's Hill, he wanted to make it undeniably clear to everyone that he is the fulfillment of all of the messianic prophecies that God's children had held so near and so dear to their heart for so many centuries. Anyone who knew their Old Testament scriptures would instantly recognize the messianic prophecy recorded in the book of Zechariah. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Now look at verses 4 through 6 of our text. The fact that everything unfolded exactly as Jesus said that it would is a very good reminder to you and to me. It's a very good reminder that We need to listen to Jesus as he speaks to us through his holy word. It's a very good reminder that we need to obey our Lord, our Savior, without question, without doubt, and without any objections. And it's also a very good reminder that we can trust our Savior. We can trust the one who knows all things at all times. The next portion of our text is not only very familiar to us, but it's also where we get our theme for today. The King shall come. He is coming to save us. Jesus is not just a king. Jesus is not just our king. Jesus is the King. Unlike earthly kings who rise and fall over the course of time, unlike earthly kings who rule by might and wrap themselves with majesty, our King Jesus is a humble king. He rode into the beloved city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey with just that one goal in mind, to save his people from their sins. While we can't say for certain that everyone in this joyous procession knew that Jesus is the King who is coming to save us and all people, the words which they proclaim are beautiful and clear and quite appropriate. Here is where we need to remember that this crowd had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The city of Jerusalem was literally overflowing with pilgrims who had come to celebrate and prepare their Passover lamb to remember how the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, had saved them from slavery in the land of Egypt. We, of course, know that it was certainly not by accident that Jesus took his final journey to Jerusalem during the festival of the Passover. The backdrop of celebrating how the Lord saved his people through the blood of the Lamb was elevated to its highest level when the crowds proclaimed, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." These words were automatically filled with so much meaning for God's Old Testament children, but we might need to unpack them a little so that they can carry the same meaning for us, God's New Testament children. Hosanna is a Hebrew word that very literally means save us now. Over the course of time, Hosanna became an expression of praise, such as praise be to you. For 3 years, God's people listened to Jesus of Nazareth teach them the truth of God's holy inspired word. For 3 years, God's people saw the power that Jesus of Nazareth possessed. No human being could have done and performed the miracles that Jesus performed. That's why he deserves to be praised. He is the only one who has the power to save us. No matter whether this crowd was praising Jesus or calling out to Jesus, "Save us," what they were expecting him to do is clearly brought out when they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." These words are taken from Psalm 118. In Psalm 118, God's king, which is probably great King David, urged God's people to give thanks to the Lord, the great I Am, for his unfailing love. David described how he had won a great victory with the help of the Lord. The king's life had been in great danger. He was in anguish, surrounded by enemies on every side. And yet, the king's hope for victory was not found in the size of his army, or the strength of his warriors, or any alliance that he could make with another king. Just as he did when he faced the giant Goliath, David proclaimed that his victory was in the name of the Lord. That is, trusting in the Lord's promises to him, David relied on the Lord to help him. And now? Now the king was making his way to the temple of the Lord to praise the Lord his God for granting him this victory, to praise the Lord his God for saving him. It's not hard to see why the crowd on Palm Sunday used these words in reference to Jesus. They were under the false impression that as the king, as the son of David, Jesus would get rid of all of those hated Romans and restore the kingdom of our father David. So whether it was in that time or in another time, so no matter whether they were shouting Hosanna in its original sense of save us, or whether they shouted Hosanna in the sense of praise be to you, this crowd was excited. They were excited about Jesus restoring the nation of Israel back to its ancient position of power and prestige, glory and independence. What would we like to see Jesus restore, my friends? Do we wish that Jesus would come and save us by restoring our nation back to the way it was that we think we remember it? Do we wish that Jesus would come and save us by restoring the good old days? Do we wish that Jesus would come and save us by restoring those dreams that we had when we were much younger? Dreams of a fantastic job, dreams of a comfortable retirement. Do we wish that Jesus would come and save us by restoring that sense of security that we had before 9/11? What do you wish that Jesus would come and restore for you? A far better question to ask is not, what do we want Jesus to restore, but rather, what do we need Jesus to restore? That's the question that the original understanding of the word Hosanna answers very well. We need Jesus to save us by restoring our relationship with the Lord, the great I Am, the one and only living God. We need Jesus to save us from the power of sin, death, and the devil by taking away all of our sins. That's what the season of Advent gives us an opportunity to contemplate, and that's why we're studying this Palm Sunday text on the first Sunday in Advent. There is tremendous value in having an opportunity to review and remember that the central message of the season of Advent is that the true Son of God came into this world as our true brother, specifically so that he could ride into the city of Jerusalem, riding on the back of a humble donkey, riding into the city where the temple of the Lord once stood, riding into the city where countless sacrifices were offered up to the God of heaven to take away the sins of the world. There is tremendous value in having an opportunity to review and remember that as the perfect Passover lamb, Jesus willingly and deliberately offered himself up on the altar of the cross so that he could be the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but for the sins of the whole world. With that valuable opportunity in mind, I'd like to share with you something that I ran across while I was studying our text for this morning. It addresses a question that one of my grandsons just loves to ask me. What if? What if Jesus had deviated from his Father's plan for our salvation? What if Jesus did not come in the name of the Lord? What if he had come some other way? He certainly could have. As he himself reminded Peter, he is the one who is in control of the entire army of heavenly angels. He could call on them at any second. What if Jesus come some other way? What if instead of riding into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a humble donkey, he chose to sit on top of a powerful war stallion or riding in a majestic royal chariot? What if Jesus had decided to use his divine power to force the world to obey him, to force the world to proclaim him as king? Then it would have been very easy for Jesus to demand obedience from everyone, including the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the teachers of the law, his earthly enemies, while he was conducting his ministry among us. But would he have won the hearts of the people, including ours? Would the scriptures have been fulfilled? Jesus, when he first came into this world, could have used his divine power to take away each and every disease and establish a kingdom right here on this earth, a kingdom where bread was free. He had that power, my friends. But then mankind's real problem would have remained. Then the spiritual battle would have been conceded to Satan. People like us, we would still be dying in our sins. People like us would still be condemned to spending eternity banished from God's presence, banished from God's grace, banished from God's joy. That's why Jesus followed his Father's plan for us. That's why Jesus humbly rode into the city of Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. That's why Jesus' goal was to suffer and die on the cross of Calvary's Hill. He came into our world as our true brother to fight and to conquer our real problems. He came to wage war on our behalf against the spiritual enemies that so easily overwhelm us, sin, death, and the devil. He came in the name of the Lord to save us. And the result? The result is victory. Victory over the sting of death. Victory over the consequences of sin. Victory over the devil himself. And through faith in what Jesus has done for us, he assures us that his victory is our victory for all of eternity. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest. From our perspective as New Testament Christians, it is amazing at how well those words capture the essence of Jesus' ministry here on this earth. No matter what anyone thinks, no matter what anyone says, Jesus is so much more than just a good teacher to listen to or a wonderful example to follow. Jesus is the only one who had the ability to bring with him the kingdom of our father David. Jesus' kingdom may not have been the kind of kingdom that the people on Palm Sunday were expecting, but it is the only kingdom that we need. Jesus' kingdom is the only kingdom that lasts into all of eternity. Jesus' kingdom is the only kingdom where we poor, mortal, sinful human beings can go to him and cry out, Hosanna, save us. And he'll point us to the cross and say, I already have. That's the kingdom that he gives to us. It's hard to believe that we're already in the season of Advent. Have you heard anyone speak those words? I have. Have you expressed that sentiment yourself? I certainly have. We all know that Advent is a very busy time of the year. There are projects to complete, appointments to keep, and commitments to honor. There are parties to plan, gifts to buy, and cards to send out. My prayer this morning is that you will also see the season of Advent as kind of like a spiritual speed bump in your life, a time to slow down and give us the opportunity to refocus, refocus our hearts, refocus our lives on that glorious truth. The King shall come. He is coming to save us. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.